But kicking off the show today, we're going to be talking to a true legend. The name Carl Craig really needs very little introduction here in Detroit. The music legend is one of the major names in Detroit techno, and this year is celebrating the 30th anniversary of his label, Planet E Communications. And in the past year plus, he's expanded his influence and work into so many different areas. He did an immersive sound and light installation that got acquired by a gallery in New York, a great installation. Also, he brought his synthesizer ensemble to Carnegie Hall for their Afrofuturist Festival just back in March. Tons of stuff. He's been very busy, so we were really excited to get to talk to him about what his favorite performances and projects of the past couple years have been, and we're going to be counting down his top five Detroit techno tracks of all time. Here's Carl Craig.
Definitely my installations, my art pieces. The runway piece for Bottega Veneta was definitely a challenge, but luckily, with my work that I did at Dia Beacon, the party after party, it prepared me. It actually put me into a new category for myself. Another notch to add, or another feather to my cap. But Runway was an amazing idea to do it in Detroit. It was an amazing challenge, because I had never done anything like that in Detroit. So it had to be really, really special.
Do you, as an artist, do you thrive on that sort of constant output or constant busyness? Or do you ever need to take like long sabbatical, time off to sort of recharge and feel fresh?
I've been touring for for pretty much all my adult life. So I'm used to moving quickly. So yes, I try to take time off for myself, but there's no 2 months in Bermuda. there's no deep sea diving that's going on in order to recharge my batteries. My recharging is, being able to be home and sleep in comparison to being in another hotel somewhere, anywhere around the globe.
That Detroit work ethic, the Detroit hustle, definitely showing up there, I think, for you. So your label, Planet E Communications, big year, turning 30 now. When you set out with this label, when you started it back in 1991 here in Detroit, have you done what you set out to do?
Yeah, more than I set out to do. I started the label because of the independence. I wanted my independence. I wanted to be able to my own music instead of having other people determining what my future would be. So there are songs like Bug in a Bass Bin that probably would have never been released if I didn't do it myself, and there's other songs from my catalog that would be in the same boat. So, that was a risk that I took, and it paid off, and it's paid off for all these years that I've had the label.
Detroit techno itself is over 40 years old now. It is a global brand. I hate calling things just a brand, but Detroit techno has a legacy that is across the globe. Every country, millions and millions of people love and celebrate this music. Do you feel like the legacy of this music is set, or do you feel like there is, more that needs to be done to make sure that this, the foundations of Detroit techno stay in the electronic music scene?
Yeah, there's of course more than needs to be done. When Cybertron did Clear, that set the tone. But in historical sense, we will look at Cybertron like Muddy Waters, So the blues has been something that of course is still here, but is definitely not as prevalent as what it had been with Detroit techno. I think this is a style of music that can, keep its impact, keep its force, because it is it's a rootsy music, but it's a futuristic music. From the beginning, I've never worked on a template. I mean, the most template that I've worked is that I would have, one drum machine and one synthesizer and, just something that I always go to that's in the room. With technology, it's very difficult to do that. It's very difficult to, you know, to explore within the music, within what you already have, because there's so much stuff to have, so many plugins, so much software. So for a while, that's what was inspiring, was the technology part. But now I got to go back to the roots. So I'm scaling it all down so that I can just really concentrate. Like if I was a guitar player, you know, and I just had a six string Stratocaster, you know, you really don't need anything else, a Strat and an amp, and boom, you can make so many colors. And it's the same with synthesis, is that there's so many colors that can come from, you know, one piece of gear. So so that's the goal now, is to go back, to go forward.
Do you have that? Do you have the synthesia where you see music as colors? Like who was it? Debussy did, I think?
Yeah, and Coltrane had it. No, I don't have it. You know, I choose colors because most people understand colors. Most people understand that there's a palette of colors that a painter uses. And with electronics, with any type of music, you're actually painting colors. I mean, there's notes that are considered blue notes, you know, so we should stick with that.
Well, let's go back to the foundations we're talking about. Let's count down your top five Detroit techno tracks of all time. And what's number five?
Number five is Inner City Good Life. That's like the most popular, I think, Detroit techno track in existence. It's a track that when I first heard it, I didn't believe what I was hearing. And I had already known Kevin for a little bit by that time. So it was amazing to know the person who was making this track that made everybody on the Bablo boat go crazy.
Let me take you to a place I know you wanna go. It's a good life.
Say is Cybertron Clear. Cybertron was making some of the first electro records that turned into Detroit techno because of Juan Atkins. But Clear is the track that you can still hear today Missy Elliott did a sample version of it some years back, so you could hear it not only in booming systems from cars, but also in the club and in the strip clubs.